amounts of certain administrative expense claims. I really only had one response, and that was from Mr. Ferris's client. Let me pull up my notes here. There it is. And I did see that you had filed an agreement with Mr. White, the production manager, who's representing Mr. Bailey, who is here, that seems to resolve that dispute. Let me just go through what I see the issues are. If, let's see, you propose to allow the, strike that. Let me just take them in order. American Ribbon Manufacturers, Inc., you said disallowed. No response. Court agrees that claim shall be disallowed. Same thing for Future Case Corp. For the reasons stated in the motion, that claim will be disallowed. With respect to Brittany Conkle, for the reasons stated, that she and other similarly situated former employees who received the WARN Act claims, which the court did approve yesterday, that claim will be disallowed. Michael White, who, again, the former production manager who had filed an administrative expense claim and then amended an administrative expense claim, trustee and the motion proposed allowance of $20,000, and now there is an agreement which has been provided to the court with Mr. White in which the claim will be paid in the amount of $35,000 in satisfaction of his claim. The only question I have is, I'm not looking to make people go through work here, but you know, this is a settlement. Normally we do these by 90-19, or at least someone tells the court why this makes sense under the ANC properties factors. I mean, I can reach my own views on that, but just briefly for the record, Mr. Guerin, walk us through the settlement with Mr. White.
I think I'm going to defer. Mr. New is here. Okay, he's the Mr. one that New. Managed that. I think I would defer to him.
Thank you, Your Honor. One of the things I will point out with the the agreement with Mr. White is there's specifically no releases either by Mr. White of the estate or the estate of Mr. White. So we tried to structure it that it was really an agreement as to what the amount of the distribution would be rather than a settlement. Now, you know, talking about the elements of the claim, if you want to look at it through the A and C factors, Mr. White's claim, there was some significant portions of it, but the largest chunk of that was a $50,000 severance claim. And we had gone through this particular issue before in the case of Mr. Atala in terms of the dispute about whether that severance payment would be allowed as wages, as it be required to be paid in full, or whether that would be paid as a essentially a pro rata distribution from the estate. So that was really kind of the largest part of the dispute. Okay. There was a dispute as to whether some of the moving costs were legitimate, but rather than fight over those particular issues, we came up with a number that we thought was reasonable in light of the circumstances. The one thing I would point out is really the parties in interest are all in this room, and I think everybody is comfortable with the settlement with Michael White, so I'm not sure what a 90-19 would, frankly, in terms of noticing it out to creditors and giving other parties an opportunity to object, what that would achieve.
All right. I understand what you're saying there, and I'm inclined to approve it, and it's not going to be allowed in the amount of $35,000, but it's going to be paid in the amount of $35,000.
That's right, Your Honor. Okay.
All right. That's fine. I'm fine with that. And Mr. Bailey, anything that you'd like to add? Just pull the mic to you if you want to add anything.
No, Your Honor. I think your ruling is right on.
Okay. All right. I always like to hear that. Thank you. I'm going to take the RET claim last, but what does that leave? We've got Port City Center LLC. And also we have Kelsey Jordana, and they have filed administrative expense claims. I don't have the amounts in my notes, but the trustee, I gather, has no objection to the amounts allowed. Is that, or the amounts filed, correct?
I think that we agreed to allow them at the filed amounts and to pay them at 40 cents on the dollar. The Jordana claim was $575.
Right.
It was a 503B9 claim. The Port City claim was $14,925, and we agreed to pay that at 40 cents on the dollar.
Well, when you say agree, you're proposing to pay that. You don't have agreements. I mean, here's the concern I have is we know what the fee amounts are and we know what's left. And you can, if I allowed the fees and the entire amount is filed, you can figure out what the percentage would be. But we don't know that the court's going to allow them in that amount. In other words, we don't know that the allowed amounts are going to be paid 40%. You think it's highly likely. But unless the lawyers are agreeing to cap payment at 40% of the allowed claims, and unless the professionals and the trustee, I'm not going to force anyone else to accept that. People want to agree to it. That's one thing.
If I can, right?
Yeah.
I think that is what Port City has agreed to. They have agreed to accept the 40%, and so has Ms. Jordan.
Well, I don't have the evidence of that, do I?
There's not been a declaration filed from either of them. And if you want that to supplement the record, we can do that. But I can, Mr. Peterson had expressed discussions with Kelsey Giordano where she's consented. Mr. New has spoken with the Port City folks. So.
Sure, they consent to that because you represent to them that that's all they're going to get. I mean, if I'm let me just tell you, I'm going to authorize an interim distribution of 40% on their claims. And if there is more money later, it's not capped at 40%. Okay.
Good.
All right. So that's what I'll do with both Port City Center and the Kelsey Giordana. So that takes us to RET LLP. We already had a hearing on RET's administrative expense claim. And so, to go over the tortured history here, there was a motion for allowance and payment of an administrative expense claim that was filed back in June of 2016 at docket 439. I entered an order at docket 507 that stated, among other things, as follows. The landlord's request for allowance of an administrative expense claim and other issues to be considered by the court relative to claims of the bankruptcy estate and landlord against one another are set over and will be considered in connection with the evidentiary hearing to be scheduled by the court. Court set a hearing for August 30, 2016. On August 18, counsel for the trustee filed a letter stating that the trustee, RET, and an affiliate of RET had reached an agreement on the administrative claims and other issues. Curiously, 1 week later, RET nonetheless filed a proof of claim, asserting a claim under 507A2. Of course, the proof of claim form is not the proper way to assert an administrative expense claim, but that was filed nonetheless, and that's what I guess brings us here today. The court entered an order denying approval of the settlement on November 22, 2016 at docket 835. RET never sought a new hearing date or otherwise renewed its prior motion that has never been fully resolved. If RET wants an administrative expense claim, it can renew its prior motion and request an evidentiary hearing. The court will not grant relief that is now it's requested in a reply brief. It's not going to grant relief requested in its proof of claim that was filed after the court already set an evidentiary hearing. And there's and at this point, I don't have any evidence that RET has agreed to anything. Now, Mr. Ferris may be here to say that they're amenable to what's been proposed, but this just is, whether intentional or not, it's circumventing the process I established 2 years ago. If you truly want to settle this, it will need to be on a 90-19. And Mr. New is correct. The parties that care are here. That includes the court. And the reply brief setting out the terms is not sufficient. Not to belabor the point, court made it very clear, and there's a transcript. I have a lot of problems with how this has been resolved. I'm not allowing a breakup fee. Let me say that again. I am not allowing any payment of a breakup fee. The case law is clear. You need to get the fee, the breakup fee approved before you get to the sale hearing. If you didn't get it approved, that means the stalking horse bidder was willing to go through the sale process without a breakup fee. So let me I'll take some of the blame for not just clearly saying that 2.5 years ago. But the settlement seems to once again be trying to allow part of a breakup fee in. So you're going to need to try again. I'm going to disallow the claim without prejudice. If you want to do a settlement with Rhett, let's get the terms out there. Let's get a signed agreement. But you need to tell me what the consideration is going both ways. Part of the last settlement agreement, as I thought, it did not accurately represent what the trustee was giving up. You won the relief from stay motion, so you'd be entitled to your attorney's fees. I said I found Rhett violated the stay. So you got a claim for that. The trustee is not calculating that in his analysis. I said at the original hearing way back that I thought Rhett's claim was somewhere in the range of $2,000 to $20,000 max. Now things may have changed, but that's kind of where the court is. So not going to allow anything to Rhett at this point. But so I'm denying or disallowing the proof of claim without prejudice to Rhett renewing that original motion. Okay.
I think I follow it, Your Honor. Okay. I think we'll come back.
Okay.
And the purpose of this, I think you know, this was the process that I think you suggested we go through, and we were trying to go through and manage all of the remaining administrative claims in the case. But we're happy to come back with an express motion on the Rhett piece with a 9019 motion to tell you. I will tell you, just so you know, the biggest difference here is that Rhett has now come forward from our perspective. It's now come forward and has provided specific evidence regarding the environmental cleanup, their allegation being that the trustee, as he was removing his materials being removed from the Tomball facility, there were spills that occurred there. He had to then go in and hire consultants and clean those spills up.
Right.
And that was during the possessory period of the trustee. So that's the biggest dollar number.
Right? I understand, though that wasn't part of the original administrative expense claim.
Your Honor, mind I?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Ferris.
At this juncture, actually, you don't recall.
Maybe
if you look back at the transcript of the hearing where we proposed the settlement, that really was the big issue that drove the settlement.
You're
we
correct.
Didn't know what those costs were going to be, and we thought it was going to cost more money to have an evidentiary hearing fighting over that issue with environmental experts than simply get the bills from the cleanup people and then deal with it as part of a settlement.
But that was, when I say the original motion for allowance of administrative expense claim, that did not include environmental cleanup. What you filed later, after I was told you had a settlement, you filed a proof of claim for that, no one knew. Everyone was guessing. And then, yes, by the time there was this, by the time you got your settlement was settling environmental claims that had not been, those were not going to be part of the evidentiary hearing on August 30.
Well, that was what I was contemplating. Actually, at the time of the settlement, I thought that they would have been. But, we would deal with the claim in its totality. But I was just wanting to interject that I agree with Mr. Guerin's comments and that, in fact, that was the big question mark we were trying to resolve at that time without further administrative expense. So that's still what we're trying to accomplish here.
Look, I appreciate that. However, unlike the settlement with Mr. White, I don't have a signed agreement, do I?
I think you do for Mr. White.
No, unlike Mr. White, I don't have a signed agreement with Rhett.
No, you don't.
Okay. That's part of the problem here. And we've had issues with unsigned agreements or people thinking that there are agreements when there aren't, because it hasn't been signed, produced to writing, and executed by both parties. I need to see that.
Your Honor, we did have a settlement agreement. We came before the court with it. It was actually for more money. It was $50,000 to be paid within 10 days. Now it's approximately 45, of which only estimated 40 cents on the dollar will be paid. So the client's recognizing the case isn't what it was a year and a half ago, but the same issues are before us. Just to remind you, though, we did have a signed settlement agreement. It's effectively the same release as a
right, and I ordered that was a sweetheart deal, and no one's changing my view on that. So I'm not approving that settlement, and it doesn't matter to the court that the parties are all here are not objecting. There's an integrity issue. If the consideration, by my calculation, flowing to Rhett exceeded $100,000, the trustee wants to do that deal, fairly present the consideration flowing both ways, and I will evaluate it. And I'm not looking to increase administrative expenses, but I don't have a signed deal, so there's no agreement. I'm not approving a breakup fee, so you're going to need to negotiate something anyway, or take it out. But you know,
I follow, Your Honor. I think,
yeah, you follow. We're not going to resolve the case today anyway. So if it's going to be paid in part, the money's not going away. So right. You're not, client isn't prejudiced.
No, I understand. Yeah, okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So let's just button this up correctly. That's all I'd like to say. So any disallowance, rather than disallow the rec claim, let's just say it is deferred. Allowance or disallowance on the rec claim is deferred. I think that leaves it open. Is that, I think, a little more amenable to you, Mr. Ferris?
Certainly. Yeah, thank you very
better
much.
Than disallowed. Yes. Yeah. Right. Let's leave it that way. So I think that takes care of the admin expense claim motion, Mr. Guerin.
I think it does. Okay. We'll prepare an order.
Okay. And run it by Mr. Ferris. Mr. Bailey, you don't probably need to see the order.
I assume it's going to say what Your Honor has ordered.
Yes, it will. I can assure you.
We're happy to share with Mr. Bailey as well. We don't want to leave him out.
So. All right. I do want to get, as soon as we can, get the 40% to the couple of folks here, or the few folks here, and the amounts to Mr. White. I think you did have a deadline on it. But the sooner we can pay Kelsey Jordana and that landlord, the better.
That's our intention.
Yeah,
one of the benefits, frankly, is something you raised earlier at the last hearing, I think, is we actually do think distributions in this quarter would be helpful for U.S. trustee fee purposes. If whatever we distribute in this quarter, we won't then have additional fees, significant fees in the subsequent quarter.
Okay. that presumes I'm going to authorize distributions on the fees. Let me drop
any distributions. I'm telling you.
About. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to be authorizing distribution on the fees this quarter, so we can turn to the fee applications now, and we can start addressing the issues I have. And please have a seat, Mr. Guerin. Mr. Ferris and Mr. Bailey, you're free to stay and you're free to go.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. But before I start with my questions, let me ask Mr. Smith, if you wouldn't mind approaching